Welcome back to another episode of the Front Page Football Podcast. It's been a couple of weeks and we're back. And tonight I'm joined by one new guest to the podcast and one returning familiar face in, first of all, Jake Hollab, who rejoins the pod after an extended absence. The pod in general had a big absence, but Jake is back on the pod. Jake, how are you going?
Good, I'm good. I'm glad to be back. Well, I guess like sort of with Australian football too, sort of getting back with the Australia Cup. Obviously, you have the pointy interval of the NPL seasons, so the grand finals heating up. So it's a great time to be back on the pod and chatting football. So always happy to be on. So thank you, Christian. And yeah.
And joining us for the very first time on this podcast, and he's, I don't know, he's going to have to clarify for me how long he's actually been with us at Front Page Football, probably for a few months now. But he is from New South Wales. Jose Campo joins us, making his podcast debut. Welcome, Jose. How are you going today?
Feeling good, you know. I've only been here for like, 6 to 7 months. So, you know, I never expected to be on a podcast ever in my life. But yeah, it's a good experience. Thanks for allowing me to join and talk with you guys about football.
All good, man. I never expected to host a podcast. So look, here we are. Here we are. And yeah, you can go check out. Jose's been doing a lot of writing recently for the website. You can go check it out. Usually he covers a lot of NPL content, particularly in New South Wales. So if you go to frontpagefootball.net and you go to news categories, click on NPL, you'll probably find a few articles from Jose there. So, yeah, okay, let's get into it then. I'm just going to go through some recent news that's been happening in the Oz football landscape, some transfer news, some Aussies abroad stuff, and some major results as well. The NPL, like Jake mentioned before, we've got this weekend, we've actually got a whole bunch of grand finals happening. It's a big period for the semi-professional leagues in Australia. So I'm just going to start quickly with some A-League transfer news. So probably the biggest story in Oz football of the last 2 weeks, and we're going to talk about it in a bit more depth later on, but Douglas Costa has come down under to Australia, and he has joined Sydney FC on a two-year deal. Juan Mata has been linked with the Western Sydney Wanderers in the last couple of days. And again, we're going to talk a little bit more about that and this kind of sudden marquee news and buzz around the A-League again. What's that, Jack?
A bit of a renaissance. It's so that conversation's come up again, which we'll talk about.
Yes. I've got many thoughts. And so Trent Sainsbury as well is back in the A-League. I don't know. It's like we've been teleported back to like the 2012 A-League season or something with like these marquees and then like Trent Sainsbury's back in the league. So yeah, it's kind of, yeah, streets won't forget sort of stuff. But and then Wellington have signed a couple of Japanese boys whose names I am going to absolutely butcher. I'm actually just going to say their last names because on the last pod, I butchered, was it Adam? Yeah, Adam Bajaria. Yeah, is it? It's Bajaria, yeah. For some reason, I called him Bigaria. I don't know why. It was not a really good reflection on my own cultural background. So Ishige and Nagasawa. I think I've got those two spot on. But those, yeah, well done. Well done to me. Those two Japanese boys have joined Wellington. Looks like Giancarlo Italiano is looking to make the most versatile 11 in football history this season. So I'm looking forward to that. And in the dub, the A-League women, not too much has happened of late, but the main news was Serena Bolden leaving the Newcastle Jets. And yeah, it looks like she's going to sign for an Italian club. That's what the Jets said in their statement. So I'm just going to quickly, Jake, go to you. Anything there? Well, actually, I mean, the obvious one that stands out is Douglas Costa. We're going to talk about it a bit more later. Actually, you know, I will ask you about Trent Sainsbury. Come back to the Mariners. I want a 3-year deal as well. Just give me some brief thoughts on that.
Yeah, oh, I think that's one that I think it's been lingering around for a while. Obviously, he's had some tough times recent years. Dropped from the, you know, famously dropped from the World Cup squad. You know, made that move to Qatar, didn't work for him, and you know, came straight back now. Interesting to see how he'll. So he'll probably be alongside Brian Kalatak. That's going to be a very interesting, you know, back line there. That's going to be very, very strong. So, you know, like I think now we're sort of all realizing, yeah, the Mariners aren't really an underdog now. Like the amount of pulling power they have now, as you know, the top dogs of the league for the past 2 years now, won the you know in Asia too. So yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see sort of how they can maintain this, you know, dynasty it's sort of becoming now at this point. So yeah, very, very promising signs.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think I read somewhere that Sydney FC also maybe made an offer to Trent Sainsbury or were definitely
Yeah, I
interested.
saw that too.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, was it Ufuk Tale who actually said that, or maybe no, might
Not too sure,
don't
though.
aggregate me. I don't know. I don't know if that's what was if that's how that turned out. But I'm pretty sure he was linked. So yeah, I mean, I know Sainsbury's got the Mariners connection, but just them kind of beating, you know, Sydney FC to a signing like that is kind of a big deal, I would say. But let's move on to Aussies abroad, because definitely when it's the A-League off season, there's a lot more happening, particularly in this kind of August, September period where leagues in Europe are getting started. Meanwhile, we are suffering from the longest ever off season in the world football. So yeah, first of all, Nestorio and Kunda. Is just an absolute beast. I think that's kind of, you know, in short, it's the easy summary. I don't know if you guys saw, there was the bit of buzz because Kingsley Coman was linked with the move away from Bayern Munich, and kind of everyone in Australia was kind of, you know, getting all giddy about, like, oh wow, like here we go, Coman's out, Nesta is got an easy path to some minutes, but I think he ended up staying at Bayern. I think he was going to go to a Saudi club. He ended up staying. So, looks like Nesta still has that kind of roadblock in the way of some minutes. But I mean, he's not doing himself any harm with the way he started in the youth side as well. The under 19s had that game where he scored a couple of goals. The first one seemed like a pretty kind of classic Nesta goal, to be honest.
Really good goal.
Yeah,
I think it was
he
reserves, the goal for
reserves.
the
Reserves might have got that one wrong,
Bayern
yeah.
Youth League.
But he, yeah, just like he looks like he's kind of in that mold where he's in between this kind of reserve level, but first team level too. Let's see how it goes. It's very, very exciting. Other news, Adrian Hrustic signed for Salernitana in Serie B in Italy, has left Hellas Verona on a permanent move. I think, what's that?
Thank God he's just been locked
Yeah.
up.
Yeah, I was just about to say. I think everyone is very, very happy for him that he's left the shackles of Hellas Verona. And other random news: Jason Davidson signed for a Greek club who I've been told by FPF writer Antonis Pigonis, who very closely follows the Greek Super League, that they are a very random club in Greece, and it's very random that Jason Davidson has joined them. So yeah, that's my insight into that one. And we also saw Jackson Irvine, Connor Metcalf making starting debuts in the Bundesliga for St. Pauli, which is fantastic to see. That they've you know, got promoted with them, but then have been able to actually stay a part of the team is really good. Alessandro Cecchetti on the same kind of level of this Nestorio and Kunde excitement. He has been absolutely awesome for Parma to start the Serie A season. Played every single minute in the league, played a full game, and they beat AC Milan. That's fantastic to see. And hopefully, Graham Arnold. Well, we're going to see a lot of Alessandro Cecchetti in this in these upcoming qualifiers. And on the women's side of things, Hayley Raso signed for Spurs. Although it's great to see more Matildas in the WSL, I don't know why there is this obsession with signing for Tottenham. It's very conflicting for myself. But anyway, you guys, what sticks out for you, Jose? I'll throw to you. What sticks out to you out of the Aussies abroad news?
I think Aaron Kunda's start in Germany is very unexpected for me. Honestly, I would have expected in the first couple of months he would have had to like settle in with the club first, you know, getting used to the like the country, the language, the playing style there in Europe is very different to here. But he's been very good. I think above expectation is what I would say, especially impressing the head coach. I think Vincent Kompany, who has played with a lot of, has like a lot of players in his squad who are obviously quality, especially Pavlicic as well, getting opportunities in friendlies, obviously being called up as well in the recent DFB Pokal match, I think, as well. So I think he's been very impressive for Aaron Cullen. I think that stands out the most for me.
Did not check that at all. I think poor Anthony Pavlicic has just been completely forgotten about because everyone's just obsessed with Nesta Kanter. How is Anthony Pavlicic going? I've actually not checked that at all.
He's been playing a lot for the under 19s, and I think he's been switching around with the out reserves lately. I think, yeah, I
Okay.
think that's where he's been around lately. But I think
Excellent.
he's with Manuel Neuer in playing for Bayern Munich, all that, it'll be a long time before I think he gets his chance.
Yeah, well, Neuer retired from international football recently, didn't he? So
Yeah.
maybe only a couple more years at club level. Who knows? Jake, yourself, what sticks out to you there?
I think the same Pally boys. I think it's been excellent to see for them. I think especially, I think Irvine, no surprises, captain of the club. You expect him to come in there, basically play every single minute. But Metcalf, it's also the question there. Past couple seasons, being put out on the wing, sort of used all about. But yeah, he's played, I think, both games centre mid alongside Irvine, the Bundesliga. Like, it's unreal. We haven't had that for a while. Just having, Aussies playing in a top five league, and two of them all, together on the same side. It's just been really, really good to see. So I think that's gonna, maybe push forward, hopefully, some others. We can get more and more players, playing this top five leagues, playing in that top division. So yeah, it's great to see. And yeah, I'd like to see them sort of partnering maybe in the midfield, for the Socceroos, for the upcoming games, because they're probably the most informed, I think, of a lot of Aussies.
Okay, quickly before we get into our first deep dive topic, some major results that have happened recently. So before we get into NPL stuff, the Young Matildas, of course, are playing in the Under-20 World Cup at the moment, and unfortunately, they went down in the World Cup opener. Actually, that was against Colombia, who are hosting the tournament. They went down 2-0. Jose, with his Colombian background, is actually secretly happy that they lost, or no, maybe not totally.
Half
But
half, you know.
half half, yeah, half half. But I mean, Colombia's got Linda Caicedo like playing for them in Under 20 World Cup. It's borderline like unfair and unjust. But anyway, unjust, not unjust. But no, I think the Young Matildas have Mexico next, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, an opportunity for them. That's on Wednesday morning Australian time. So an opportunity for them to bounce back in their second game. Now, NPL wise, New South Wales will start off with, and Jose will be able to give his 2 cents on this, but Rochdale Linden and Marconi Stallions are going to face off in the grand final this weekend. Rochdale beat Sydney United after going behind, and then Marconi totally obliterated Blacktown City, and Dom Costanzo decided to add a couple of more incredible goals to his highlight reel. But Jose, that seems like the right grand final, doesn't it? These two have been the two best teams, two most consistent over the season.
100%. I think, yeah, it will be a great grand final. They got a good fan base backing. I recently went to one of the Rochdale games, and the atmosphere was pretty alive when they versed against Newcastle Jets. So it will definitely be a very good, spectacle to watch, especially in a grand final. Marconi, obviously, I don't think they've. I think it'll be a very good test for them. Let's be real. Especially after that 9-0 win against Rochdale in their last meeting, I think. Would be kind of redemption for Rockdale to bounce back, show them that they won't take that, that type of thing.
Has there been studies done into that result?
No, I don't think so. I mean,
Okay.
it's just be kind of like a shocker, like a
It's
what?
crazy.
No,
Just, yeah.
I don't know. That people were suggesting like match fixing in that game, but I'll say
Nah.
nothing
Hey,
about
come
that.
on.
I won't say nothing
That's
about that.
oh man. Victoria, where Jake is, we had also another kind of shock result on the weekend. Oakley totally thrashed Avondale in the NPL. They won 3-0 away from home at Avenger Park, which is a stunning result. And we're going to get South of Melbourne and Oakley in the grand final again in Victoria. And this time, South Melbourne are going to try and make sure they don't get embarrassed in the grand final. Jake, your 2 cents on that?
Yeah, all Greek final, South Melbourne Oakley. That's going to be buzzing. It's
Jake's like, yep, that's a win already. All Greek final.
Tick already there, but no, it's I'm very interested to see how that goes. I was firstly very surprised to see South actually get there in the end. Very, very shaky against Hume. Obviously, red card right at the end of the first 90. Grabbed an early goal and just parked that bus. Hume, yeah, if you look in the stats there, what, 0.41 XG to 1.58. So you got a feel for Hume there. Like, they just simply couldn't convert. Harvey's a top keeper. Yeah, don't know how. He's just chilling in NPL, to be honest. He really should be playing at a high level. But yeah, so South Melbourne, they just always find their way.
That's Harvey Lopez light, right? Harvey Lopez light, not
Harvey yeah. Lopez, the keeper.
Yeah, the keeper.
Good on him. But yeah, so that's gonna be a great game. I'll probably get out to that as well. When is that? It's on Saturday. Yeah, okay. I'll see anyone there if they come. That's gonna be a great game. I'd recommend to anyone.
Yeah, Kintas ball. I just can't get on board with it. I just don't like it.
It gets results.
It gets results. So yeah. fair play. Okay, I'll talk a little bit about some other results. We'll start where I am in SA. We've got Campbelltown City are going to face Metro Stars on Friday night in the NPL SA Grand Final. Metro getting two late goals to beat Adelaide City in the second leg, and Campbelltown absolutely obliterated Modbury Jets. Of course, Campbelltown head coach Michael Matriciani will take over Melbourne City's women's team after that grand final. So we'll be looking to finish on a high. Campbelltown and Metro played in the cup final last year, and Metro won 3-2 after extra time. It was a fantastic game. So should be something similar here. Interesting how, I'm going to get to this in a moment, but SA's grand finals on Friday night. Then we've got New South Wales, Victoria, and Queensland all on Saturday. So I'm not too sure if Football SA saw that and decided to just zag and put their grand final on Friday so everyone could watch it. I don't know, but if they did, kind of kudos to them there. But in Queensland, Moreton City, who we're going to talk about probably at some stage later when we talk about the Australia Cup results, but they just keep finding a way to do it and get results when it matters. They won 4-3 in extra time against Peninsula Power in the semi-final. So as well as being in the Australia Cup quarterfinals, they're also going to play in the NPL Queensland Grand Final, and they're going to face Lions FC, not Gold Coast Knights, who we've mentioned previously, actually on the last pod, are really the most dominant team in Queensland over the last couple of years, but they actually lost to Lions FC in the semi-final. So it's going to be Moreton City Excelsior versus Lions FC in Queensland. And just a side note from that game was the Peninsula Power player who scored and put his side 3-2 up, was on a yellow card, decided to take his shirt off, forgetting that he was on a yellow, got a second yellow, got sent off, and then his team lost 4-3. So well done. Well done to you. I can't remember the player's name off the top of my head, but...
Reese Messina, have you?
Okay, there you go. Well, Reese, have a look in the mirror, mate, because that's
learning experience. Learning experience. Reece.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Best of us.
Yeah, I guess. Although, yeah, maybe a bit of self awareness there. Maybe a bit of self awareness. Okay, and in some of the I guess less talked about NPL leagues, we had Gungahlin United secured the premiership in Canberra. Or ACT, however you want to describe it. And in Tasmania, it's actually very, very fascinating. Also happening on Saturday afternoon, we've got three teams battling for first going into the final day between Glenorchy Knights, South Hobart, and the Devonport Strikers. So definitely something to keep an eye on if you're really into NPL come this Saturday. So, yeah. All right, that's going to do it for a little recap of what's been happening in the world of Oz football. We're now going to transition into our first discussion. And of course, it's going to center around Douglas Costa joining Sydney FC, Juan Mata being linked with the Wanderers, and this kind of sudden, strange return of the marquee strategy, even though clubs are only getting something like 500 grand from the APL this season as a part of the central distribution funding. I think you can kind of get a sense of where my opinions lie on this already. But so this is Sydney FC's biggest signing, Douglas Costa, since Alessandro Del Piero, no doubt about that. But despite Douglas Costa being the name that he is, and also just quick side note, I'm not just saying this because I'm of Italian background, But I don't believe that Douglas Costa is in the same conversation as Alessandro Del Piero. I don't know why there's been
It's
these sort of comparisons when you
generous,
find,
generous, yeah. Way too
yeah,
early.
it's just early. Like Del Piero won a World Cup and he also scored in a World Cup semi-final and was one of Italy's best players, you know, of his generation. So, you know, it's not like Douglas Costa was like anywhere near Neymar, like in his prime, for example, was he? So, yeah, in saying that, of course, he was a fantastic footballer. But in recent years, we should point out that he had a real poor time in Brazil. That was with Fluminense mainly, where he just kind of fell out with the fans, if I'm not mistaken, when he left. And then in the MLS, he didn't really do too well there. He struggled a little bit. He's had fitness concerns and injury concerns as well in recent years. And my first point is that this is giving me Lewis Nanny, Daniel Sturridge vibes. I don't like it. And you know, to either of you, maybe Jake, we'll start with you. Like, obviously, if they can get him fit, and he's already started training, so you know they've probably got a plan for him. And like, I think Alex Bomyahan, Sydney FC, have been chasing him for like a year. So it's definitely someone, you know, they're planning for, and they're going to be pulling out all the stops to make sure he's playing at his best. But first of all, is this giving you Nanny Sturridge vibes? That's the first part of the question. And second of all, like, I don't like, the league really still need these types of players? Like, I know from a marketing standpoint, I understand why clubs still want to look at these players, but what my concern is here is that if this goes wrong, like, it's just another laughing kind of stock moment, right, for the league. That's what it's going to feel like. But that's my two cents. Jake, what's your thoughts?
Well, first on the Nanny Sturridge sort of comparisons there, it's like, again, it's hard to say. Like, obviously, hindsight is great because I think coming into both of the signings, especially Nani and even early doors, it looked like, wow, you know, this looks like a good signing. He was fit. Like, Nani, you know, probably still is one of the most fittest, what, late 30s persons I've ever seen. He's just completely ripped, you know, always working out, like,
What's he doing?
unbelievable.
What's he doing now?
I think he's still playing. I think he's still playing. Like, I saw it recently. Like, he's actually probably elevated. He's gone sort of better than what he was doing here, which is
He's playing
very disappointing, I
Portugal.
guess. But yeah,
Portugal.
that's how it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, Portugal, I think it is.
Okay.
So fair play to him, I guess. But truly hard to say. A lot of red flags coming into this. You know, obviously with all the sort of comments we're seeing from Brazilian fans that, you know, sort of loyal Fluminense fans more specifically, you know, saying he's lazy, you know, he's just going to come here, take money, not really, you know, care about whatnot. Hard to truly say. You know, maybe he just needs a different environment. You know, maybe, you know, coming to Sydney, maybe love the beaches here, enjoy that. I don't know. Could sort of, you know, really ignite a fire in him, sort of to prove himself, you know, in a different part of the world. But look, in terms of quality, I think there's no denying you don't play for Juventus and, you know, Bayern Munich for many, many years and be, you know, probably up there with some of the better wings of the world at times. Like, he was unreal, you know? So it's very exciting. I'm interested to see probably more specifically. I don't think people are necessarily saying, how's he actually going to fit with the team? Because for me, he's pretty similar to Joe Lolli in a way. Like, he's sort of that, like, primarily plays on the right wing. Obviously, we've seen him play on the left wing before, sort of maybe in Europe. But, you know, Joe Lolli is arguably the best player in the league. Right-footed left winger, likes to cut inside and whip in balls. That's a lot of, you know, Douglas Costa's game. So I'm interested to see sort of how that sort of works out and how that fits. But
I think they'll play him on the left, and I think they'll play Lolli on the
that's my
right.
presumption. But
Yeah.
then, yeah, I feel like you've just, I don't know. I don't know how that fit works. Maybe you do arguably want, you know, maybe more of like an inside forward type player, like a Kucharski, maybe on the wing, for example, sort of cutting inside, especially with, you know, a rumored signing to come for Sydney FC. But yeah, I don't know. But I think for the most part, obviously, massive reputation will bring sort of that, you know, maybe, you know, Brazilian style, which, you know, is always lovely to watch. You know, not Fabio Gomes. You know, he's a not a great example of sort of that what they can add. But yeah.
Jesus, Fabio Gomez just copying strays.
No. I think he was very underrated, but as in, like, you know, he's a brick shit house of a striker. You know what I mean? He's yeah, he's not that, you know, flairy sort of.
He lacks aura. Yeah.
Exactly.
He's long gone, bro. He's long gone.
Long gone now, anyway. Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it though, because I think, you know, like, just seeing, like, it's a sugar hit. You know, these type of signings, they are like a bit of a sugar hit. But, you know, like sugar, maybe doesn't last as long as, maybe promoting a youngster. I'm looking at Sydney's, sort of youth ranks, Sergacic, Amanitidis, even Kucharski, Patrick Wood, even Mitchell Glasson, for example, Quintal. Like, there's so many young players that probably do need that opportunity, and maybe he takes away from that. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of concerns, excitement. I'm very mixed. I'm just gonna see what happens.
Was not expecting a sugar analogy
It
on the podcast today.
just came to me.
Yeah. Jose, I'll get your thoughts, your general thoughts on the signing, and then I'll hit a couple of other points on this.
My thoughts on Douglas Costa is that it might be a bit too early to really say anything. I mean, guys just landed and everyone's making like all these assumptions. I don't assume. I like to see, the players actually like do what they say. He's been saying a lot of things like he'd always play for the biggest club. Always like, which I don't know, he's like probably tried to do his best. We'll have to see, It's like you can't just like think he'll just, maybe fall away. Like, I mean, Nani looked really promising at the beginning of his signing, before he got his injury and before he had to like leave because of it, It's like you can't really, anything can go. That's what I'm gonna say.
Yeah, I think because Nani's that was an impact injury, and an ACL, from a tackle, if I'm not mistaken, Jake.
I think it was
Yeah,
an
yeah,
act.
yeah. If I can remember, yeah, it was pretty bad.
yeah. So at least it wasn't like a muscle injury or something that was a long-term concern that had just kind of flared up again and had been an issue. So yeah, I just think there's a risk with doing this as well, and I think I'm not too sure if the potential benefits are going to outweigh the potential risks, I guess, is my kind of takeaway with this. But in saying this, I mean, I'm talking like this, but like, we could be 4 weeks into the season and Douglas Costa is like just by far the best player in the league, and I look stupid, or we could be sitting there after 4 weeks, like you're saying, Jose. You just can't tell. We could be sitting there after 4 weeks, and it could just be, a disaster, and he's not really fit, and yeah, who knows? But just to Jake's point again about how they're going to structure their team. So they are linked with it looks like they are going to sign Patryk Klamala, the Polish striker on loan for the season. So he's essentially going to be the Fabio Gomez replacement from last year. So you'd think the front three is going to be Costa, Lolli, and Klamala. Don't really know much about him. Don't really know what type of striker he is. But I did see someone say, it was like a tweet, which kind of a lot of people were getting around when Douglas Costa signed, and the guy kind of said, like, oh, this is great, but like, who's he going to deliver the ball into? Patrick Wood, which is like, Patrick Wood copping strays as well. But I think they've got a weird with their striker position. It's like they don't really. It's like someone like Glasson, for example, it's like he's too young. He's not really ready yet. Patrick Wood has never really shown enough consistency. Kucharski's maybe still a year away from being a regular starter. Maybe not. And even him, is he really an out and out number nine? That's probably the bigger thing with him. But Jake, I think this Klamala signing is definitely necessary. And again, like, it's another one where like they're gonna want to hope that he hits the ground running and he's good too, because like they have been fortunate, like with Robert Mack and then Lolli like last year, and in recent seasons having most mo from the top of my head anyway, most of their foreigners have been pretty good. But if Klamala like comes here and he's not good, and I know it's only a loan deal, but then you're asking, someone to step up, who's maybe not so ready to be that leading striker. But what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I get the signing. I think it's necessary. Like, I think, like you said, Patrick Wood, I still think he's something there. He's so and shines, and he's still in his 21, to be fair, which is still pretty damn young for a striker. He's just been around for a while. But I get maybe not trusting him. Kucharski, I think, like you said, not necessarily sure out and out striker is his position. I think he's maybe best. Well, I thought he looked really excellent, sort of as like a false nine or sort of as a 10 almost at times last season, sort of playing alongside Fabio. I think he had some really, really good games. So I think that probably looks more like his position, or even maybe out wide, starting out wide instead of cutting inside. I think he's shown that too. But yeah, so I get the need for an out and out striker. But yeah, like I sort of like I just sort of reiterate, we have a lot of, Segicic, but even Max Burgess, like, you know what I mean? Like he's a top quality player that, is going to be a bench player essentially now. Like it's a bit random. And especially when you look
That's
at, for
weird.
example,
Is Nick Stoll on the podcast, or is that Jack Holub?
love Max Burgess, man. Like, I gonna love him. He's a baller. He is a saucy baller. We need more Aussie lanky saucy ballers, and we don't want to see them on the bench. So no, thank you. But I'm looking at like their defense, for example. It's looking pretty like maybe sort of re like maybe take one of those players there, no, one of the Visa players, and maybe a centre back would have been needed, for example. Hayden Matthews, I think, has to start next
Well,
week.
they're still looking for a centre back.
No, but would have to be Australian though, because they're currently on four visas, aren't they?
But most likely, and that's probably why they were in for Sainsbury. So, I mean, Sainsbury next to Hayden Matthews, that would have been a very good partnership, you'd
Yeah, that'd be
think. Yeah,
unbelievable.
I mean, the good thing for them is they've been able to keep hold of Hayden Matthews, because if they lost Hayden Matthews
That'd be screwed.
and Jake Gottlieb in one window, then that's a bit of a blow. But I think it was Portsmouth who they rejected a couple of bids from. Portsmouth are trying to create like their own version of the Socceroos or something in England. I don't know what the whole idea is there, but like they've definitely still got some holes they need to fill. But I think Jose, the other part of this with Costa is, yeah, you signed Douglas Costa for the marketing side of it, for the fact that he is, Douglas Costa, I get it. But for Sydney FC too, like they had a year last year where they transitioned to Talay, and I think it was a solid year. And they could have beaten the Mariners and gone through to the final. But I think they'll be looking and thinking that they can win the league this year. And I think when you sign someone like Douglas Costa, you hope that that's going to translate into a high finish.
Yeah, I think that sounds more like a message to like the other clubs, like that they're really trying to take it serious with these big signings. But I think Douglas Costa is more to bring in the fans, more to like, give someone to root for rather than, like these matches. Because I think past COVID, like the A-Leagues has been like been hitting a rough spot lately. But I think with these signings, it should be really be like on the rise now. I think that's what they're trying to aim for.
Do you think it's going to have a big impact off the pitch? Do you think we're going to see it's like when Del Piero came, like when he came here to Adelaide, it was incredible. Like, because we've got, a really, really strong Italian community here in Adelaide, and like there was literally Juventus supporter groups at Hindmarsh watching an Adelaide United Sydney FC game. Do you think we're going to see something similar with Douglas Costa?
It really depends on what he does, because Del Piero did a lot of marketing for Sydney FC outside of just off the pitch, like that's why all the fans remember him. That's why the A-League loves him. If he doesn't do any of that, he'll be forgotten. I'll be totally honest, he'll be forgotten.
You just
I feel
mean
like
you're saying he has to perform.
he's not even perform. Just be there, engage with the fans, give them, because he's a big profile signing. He has to show he cares. He's a marquee player too. We like there hasn't been like a big marquee signing like him with his resume in like years. He has to be there for the fans. He has to be there for the club. He has to market. He has to do it. If he's really serious about this club, he has to do everything he can to like be there. Be his face for this season. And for the A League, because they're giving him so much attention. And there's a big Brazilian community that he can reach out to. So he's got really up to him. It's really up to them.
Yeah, we've done a couple of Ian Bulzinski has done a couple of pieces on the website. You can check it out in the culture section of the website, and he did a couple of pieces like with São Paulo fans in Sydney, and there was another one which I've forgotten off the top of my head. But yeah, definitely in it might have been Corinthians,
Yeah,
but
that rings a bell. Yeah.
yeah, definitely in Sydney, I think. A few of them, like they go to Cheers Bar and stuff, like watching the games. Yeah, there's definitely a big Brazilian football diaspora in Sydney for sure. So let's see if Douglas Costa can help attract some of those fans to the game. The other one was Juan Mata being linked with the Western Sydney Wanderers. Now, this is a relatively new story, but seems like there's some legitimacy to it. Jose, I'm actually going to go back to you because you are, if I'm not mistaken, based in Western Sydney, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, you say it like it's like, yeah, I'm based in Western Sydney. Like it's like fucking Western
Okay.
Sydney.
All memories.
But what do you think about that if they were to sign Juan Mata? Because if we have a look at Juan Mata, like last couple of years, he's kind of this almost seems like this would definitely be his retirement home if he joined, because it seems like the J League was his pre-retirement, if I'm being
Yeah.
if I'm being brutally honest. I don't know. It just kind of going off that, yeah.
I haven't really been following him lately, to be honest. I don't even know where he's been for the last few years,
Was
but
it was he
kind
been
of
where is it? A Vissel Kobe or
yeah, it was like Vissel Kobe and Iniesta was. But I don't know, the rumor, it's just a rumor. I mean if the RBBs are saying that, maybe he can come. I think he could attract quite a few fans as well. I mean, he's a Man United player as well. A lot of Man United fans out here, I guess. So I don't really have a lot to say. I mean,
Yeah, I mean
it's
it's
speculation.
yeah, it's still speculation. It's still something that's being reported, but I don't know. Like to Jake's point, like if someone like Mata was to sign for the Wanderers, so what does that mean for like Alex Batalato? You know, what does that mean for even like I don't know. I assume maybe Priestman still starts, for example, but there's some other.
Absolutely.
What's that, Jake?
Sapsford. I think that's probably the
Sapsford, yep, Sapsford. Like there's some other young boys there, and I mean Jake. Because I'm actually gonna go back to you because I was gonna mention this before, but you've watched Sydney and the Wanderers NPL teams this season in New South Wales, or probably bits and pieces here and there. Like that, both of those clubs, particularly Sydney, we just mentioned before, like they're producing a lot of good young players. So again, just reiterates the importance of if either of these, well, Sydney have made the signing with Douglas Costa, but if the Wanderers were to do it too and kind of go blow for blow and sign their own marquee and do their big marketing thing with Juan Mata and all this sort of marketing buzz around it, they better hope that is successful, because you don't want a guy, yeah, essentially coming here, getting a payday and blocking a pathway for good young players.
I think these signings are actually pretty positive. I mean, even for Sydney FC, Douglas Costa can give up experience to all the youngsters as well. You know, like he has played with many great players. Obviously, you would want to like learn off something from him. You know, like he could tell you these things. I mean, in his prime, he was very good. He was very technical. He was very flairy. Maybe he could like show something to like the youngsters as well. For Juan Mata, if he ever comes to Western Sydney, he could do the same for Sapsford, for Batalolo, for Priestman. They can always learn, like even that. Even Nieuwenhof learned something from like Schweinsteiger, was it? Or was it? I forgot his name.
Schneiderlin, yeah.
Schneiderlin, yeah, that's right. I might
Yeah.
say Schweinsteiger, whatever. But like, it's the same thing like that. Nieuwenhof was saying that he learned from what was his name? Schneiderlin?
Schneiderlin. No, it's
That's terrible. That's
the Man
terrible.
United.
It's Morgan
Is
Schneiderlin.
his name that confuses me? All right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's coming back to me and then it's just gone.
Listen, I'm gonna slightly push back on the Douglas Costa like role model thing. Like it concerns me. No, I'm not saying he can't be that, but it concerns me that like he basically all the fans from the Brazilian clubs that he left basically hate his guts because he was like selfish and like only cared about himself. When I hear that, it's like, okay, so now this guy's gonna be this big role model type for young guys. I don't know.
He
But
might
again,
not be. He might not be.
he might not be. Maybe his influence will just be in terms of his performances and leading with his quality, as opposed
Yeah.
to being, someone who's vocal and maybe, talking to these young guys. But who, actually, I'm gonna ask you then, Jose, who out of Sydney FC's youth products and the Wanderers, like who kind of, we've seen a few of them emerge last year, but who do you reckon maybe, like Jagger mentioned, Thiago Quintal, for example, just
Yeah.
then, is definitely one that's been spoken about. Is there anyone else with that mold who's kind of hasn't really played much A-League yet that you think could break out this year?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, but the Wanderers now, I mean, the NPL team has suffered a lot from a lot of the youth players being taken out into the new A-League team, you know. So yeah, that's why they had that like really long wins, like losing streak, because they lost their key players. But I think one of the best prospects coming out of Wanderers will definitely be Priestman. I mean, I think he's absolutely essential in that. I think he's sensational in that midfield. I think he's a really good like player to connect from defense to attack. I mean, even then, if I was watching a game against Lions FC and he gave up some great balls off to the attack. I think it's something that the Wanderers have been missing for quite a long time, I think, to have a player like him in midfield, and maybe like Badolato as well. I mean, I think he's our new number 10 in striker. I think he's been showing some good potential as well. Might be a key player in a couple of years as well. Like, might be a great player in a couple of years. You never know. But I think it's looking promising for the youngsters. And I haven't mentioned Sydney FC, but cause I don't know. I haven't watched it. I think Glasson, he's not ready. He's not like A-League material yet, but obviously he can grow into it as he comes off to like gets more training, more game time. Quintal as well. I think he will be a really good player. I think I've seen him play as well. So
We had that. He had that game against Apia recently, where he just like totally destroyed them. It
oh,
was yeah, pretty unreal. But yeah, okay. So yeah, I mean Priestman had a really good year last year, and yeah, he could definitely just kick on and take another leap. Badolato looked really good for Patches last year. I'm expecting kind of a good season from him as well. Yeah, but really, let's see what happens with if they are to sign Juan Mata. It'd be interesting. I've been making a joke with people that as a Chelsea fan, I've got to go back and watch some 2012, 2013 Juan Mata highlights. If he does sign, just kind of reminisce until Mourinho fucked him off to Man United. And then yeah, but Douglas Costa though is massive. I think he trained, I want to say yesterday for the first time. There's been some stuff going around. He is officially here. They did their, Sydney FC did the whole, new signing in front of the Opera House sort of thing that they love doing. So yeah, it's all happening. Marquees, they're back. Who would have thought? Who would have
yeah,
thought with the league on its knees financially? But anyway, looks like apparently it is. So let's see how it works out. Please, please, please don't be another Nani or Sturridge. Anyway, that's gonna do it for that discussion. We are going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna run the rule over the Australia Cup and some of the results in the round of 16. Don't go anywhere. Okay, coming back, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Australia Cup, which is, of course, going on at the moment, as it always is, in this August, September, October period. And the 2024 Australia Cup has been very, very interesting so far. We are now at the quarterfinal stage. And we've got a 50-50 split of non-A-League sides and A-League sides. Now, I'm not too sure if in years gone by we've had something similar, but we've only got four A-League teams left out of the eight. And there's definitely a possibility that we are going to see an NPL team in the grand final, just like we did a couple of years ago when Sydney United made the final against MacArthur, of course. But we'll go through the results, and I'll get the thoughts of Jake and Jose as we do. But probably the standout result, more for A, how the game went, and B, because it was an upset, was Moreton City, Excelsior, who we mentioned before at the start, how they've made the grand final in Queensland, but they also beat Perth Glory, of course, 3-2 in the round of 16. Crazy game. They were down 2-0 after 10 minutes. Looked like they were going to get thrashed. And then Marquez Walters scores 2-1. They're back in the game. Holiday scores a screamer 2-2. And then late in the game, Joe Scott heads in a winner. And these guys look like one of the better NPL teams in the country. They look absolutely fantastic, Moreton City. And yeah, putting a little bit of a dampener on Gengen Glory TM by beating David Zrilic and and the Glory. But I mean, Jake, I'm not sure if you watch this game, but I mean, these guys, Walters, Zachary Kiar-Powell, Ben Holiday, which Ben Holiday, by the way, we should mention, has been linked with apparently an A-League move. I think he's having a trial with the Wanderers, I think I saw.
Mariners, I think, on a tweet.
Or yeah, or the Mariners. But looks like he might get a move and make that jump to the A-League as a result of his Australia Cup performances, which is the whole idea of the competition. So that's fantastic to see. Also, their coach, Cam Miller, is only 30 off the top of my head. But he's quite young as well. Who knows? Maybe we'll see him in an A-League setup at some stage in the future. But what stands out to you with them? Because they've been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, because of the scheduling and they've decided to put all the games the exact same time, it kept happening. I would be on one game and then I see a notification that they've scored and I try to switch over and I miss it. Oh, it was so frustrating. But yeah, it was a just, I think it was a typical from what we've seen a little bit with Perth at the moment. Like, so I'll firstly just touch on them as we see flashes. Like, again, it looks like their set pieces have been completely revolutionized. Like, I think it was four they've already scored in their past like two games or something like that. Yeah, Gamulka has been unbelievable. Like, it looks like he's really sort of reinvigorated some of that form we saw at Adelaide United, which is awesome to see. And yeah, even Brandon O'Neill picked up an assist from a free kick too, so that was great. But yeah, we saw Morden really wake up and sort of expose maybe some of Perth's flaws in defense. Yeah, Marques Walters, he's been sort of the star of the show this season with the trademark celebration. It was good to see that once again. But yeah, Ben Holiday, because I shameless plug here, but I wrote a little article previewing what's got some of the youngsters, and I decided to pick Kiapel as the nominee for Morton, but Ben Holiday was my honorable mention, but I wish I picked him in there
Yeah, well,
because
Ben Holiday took it personally, so.
he did take it personally. Like, that goal was, oh my God, wowie. He blew me away. Obviously, I haven't seen a lot of Morton, someone based in Victoria. I'm not sort of, searching to watch them play, but I might have to at this point because unbelievable
No,
difference.
yeah, I think the Morton thing's pretty funny, where, like, because obviously they played Campbelltown City in the round of 32, who, of course, as we mentioned before, here in South Australia, where I am, and I'm not going to say for sure, but there probably were some people involved at Campbelltown or, like, just around the club who thought, oh, like, who the hell is Morton City sort of thing. And then they literally went up there and got smashed 5-1, and, like, didn't even look close to them on the night. So, I mean, yeah, it's they've really just taken everyone by surprise. And now they've got Melbourne Victory at home. We'll talk about Melbourne Victory in a moment, Jake. But Perth, just quickly, because Matt was on here a couple of weeks ago talking about Perth, and he was talking about how, like, oh, there's still defensive issues and stuff. Like, first of all, this is a new team. This is a different project with Zrilic. And the other thing as well, set pieces you mentioned, it's actually a big part of the Red Bull thing too. A lot of people don't talk about it, is actually set pieces. And it's something which is they do a lot of work on, the coaches who come out of that coaching tree. And yeah, Perth are already kind of responding to that. I think it's going to take a while for them to really form into actually a solid defensive unit, because you're seeing a team which is going to press and send players forward when they lose the ball and really try and be aggressive, and they're going to leave spaces behind them. Like, that's just the reality. So I don't even know if Perth will ever be, like, a pretty stable defensive team. They might just have games this year where they're just going to win 5-4 and it's just going to be chaos. Who cares? Chaos is great. So,
100%.
yeah, I don't know. And if we do see any improvement, I think it's going to take a while yet. So I think Perth fans just got to be patient with that one. I think Morton City is just their time at the moment. They're on a really great run, and good on them. But Jake, we'll stick with you because South Melbourne and Olympic FC, another team from Queensland, had a crazy game, where, yeah, I don't think many people gave Olympic, it just kind of general feel seemed to be that, oh, like, South, this will be a pretty simple win. And then South Melbourne took the lead and everyone thought, okay, well, yeah, they're going to go on and win this 2 or 3 nil, and Olympic just came roaring back. But then South, Ross Archibald, last minute equalizer, and then a crazy free kick, with some really, really sus goalkeeper positioning, giving South Melbourne the win in extra time. What did you see from that one?
Yeah, that Marko Jakovic, oh my God. I was like, what? Like, it was so unexpected. Like, it was like near the halfway line, I think it was. Keeper was not expected at all. Perfect strike. So credit to Marko Jankovic. I think he got a brace for that game as well. It's an unbelievable performance from him. But yeah, it was yeah, it looked like, maybe Olympic were gonna shock, South Melbourne. They're a team, I might talk a little late about it, but maybe, a potential dark horse to win the whole thing. I think they're in great form. And it looks like they'll be surprised by Olympique away from home. But again, they just always find a way. I don't know how. Even the Harrison Sawyer penalty miss, it's like, surely this is the time, it just doesn't work out for them. They've just unlucky. Harrison Sawyer's been unbelievable all year. Could easily be playing A-League football at this point and get saved. But no, they still find a way. So credit where it's due again. And yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about the South Melbourne team because of the way they play, very defensive. I guess, Olympic are naturally going to come in, maybe sit back. I'm seeing here 32 shots in total by South Melbourne, which is unreal, like nearly three times the amount of Olympic. So that just kind of shows you what type of game it was.
Apparently, nearly three times the amount that South Melbourne have had in the NPL this year.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why they struggled because it's like, because it's such a vast change, you're so used to being the team that maybe counters a little bit more, sits back a little bit. When that changes and you're the one that has to break another team down, you're not familiar with it, it's tough, and you just spam shots and they don't go in, that happens. So, but you know what? They still won it. And I think that's just what champions do. They'd always find a way, So they've already won two trophies, is the Doherty Cup, Premier, the championship, and now maybe even the Shelly Cup. A four-peat, who knows? Who knows?
Okay, and then Melbourne victory on the other side of the coin in Victoria. Very, very comfortable 4-0 win against Northwest Sydney Spirit. I'll get Jose's thoughts in a moment on the Spirit side of things. But victory looking very good early doors. And there is a possibility that we could see a South Melbourne victory final in the Australia Cup, which would be kind of crazy. But what are you seeing from victory at the moment? Early days under Casorla.
Yeah, I'm
Oh,
liking
yeah.
it. Really, really liking it. Interesting sort of the change in the change in formation I've noticed. They've sort of gone for that. It's been adopted a lot where Guerrier will tend to tuck in maybe as a third centre back. Boss will push up almost as a left winger, which is perfect for him. He's fantastic at getting forward. So I'm really liking that. Nishan Volupele put out a post on him on the socials earlier because he has been unreal. The thing that's really sort of maybe like sort of be like, okay, now this could be the season for him because that left foot he's starting to develop is very, very, very promising. It makes you such a dangerous player when you can go either side. We saw him start on that right wing and, maybe in past seasons gets a little predictable. He's always going to sort of hit the byline on that preferred right. Now he's, multiple times, it almost seemed like he was left-footed. He was just that comfortable at it. Had a couple shots in, got a goal from it. Virgos as well. He actually had a pretty good game too. So it looks like maybe he's starting to fit into that system as well. But yeah, it's really interesting there, especially with the Bruno Fornaroli situation there. You have Jing Rieck they've signed, who's not even on the bench for here. It's very interesting to sort of see what will come of this victory side. But I think they're already looking like contenders, not only for Oz Cup, but even A-League. Like they, under Kisnorbo, who has a proven track record, victory looked bloody good. So we'll have to see.
Okay, Jose. Now you can talk. No, you spoke to David Perkovic after Spirit's game against Victory, and Spirit, like, I don't know if a lot of people know outside of New South Wales, but they've had a really interesting couple of years, actually getting promoted, and then they won the Waratah Cup, and they've had a couple of decent seasons in the NPL New South Wales, just mid-table and solidifying themselves as an NPL team. But Spirit as well. They've got Adam Peacock's son, Noah Peacock, who came off the bench in that game and is a top scorer in the under 20s league. So just give us some insights into Spirit and kind of your conversation with Perkovic after the game.
Spirit, honestly, I've been like a very quiet team that no one's been paying attention to, but obviously a team to watch out for now for next season since they've been improving so consistently, especially under Perkovic, who I don't know when he's joined, but he's done a massive job with the club, especially in that 2022 season where he's won the Waratah Cup and got them promoted as a second division side as well. Winning the cup is massive. So honestly, when I was speaking to him, it looks like he was focusing on bringing a lot more youth into the third senior team as well. Maybe it might be a focus. I think one of the questions asked were about the NST and how it could impact the NPL New South Wales clubs. And he says that, maybe bringing up and developing some of the younger boys might actually help the club a bit, might bring them more success, especially with like players like Noah Peacock, who has scored more goals than anyone in the under 20s. I mean, it could be definitely worth a shout for,
Yeah, definitely. I think it's interesting with a club like Spirit who maybe are not a perennial, finals team or anything like that in the NPL, maybe just middle of the road. But if the second division was to come in, that's a club where if they produce players can definitely, and there's an introduction of a domestic transfer system, of course. then can sell them on and make some money like that, like we've seen with A-League clubs at the moment, selling players to Europe. So no, it's a good point. Ask you as well about the Wanderers, because we just spoke about them and some of the young players before, but good start on Alan Stadish. They've looked really good. Admittedly, they've played two NPL teams in the cup so far, but guys like Nicholas Milanovic, we mentioned Priestman before, the new signing, Korean signing they've made, the centre back looks okay too. He played against Lions. Alex Bonatic has played really well in the Australia Cup too so far. What have you seen from the Wanderers so far under Stajic?
I think they've been progressing really well, to be honest. I mean, these NPL games are a good test. Even if they're just NPL, they're still top quality. Still top quality teams with top quality players. You know, it provides good like preseason. Obviously, it is preseason for them, so like they might be under a bit of fitness, but like it still matches on the belt. You know, so I think it's been pretty good. Pretty even in like against. I think I watched them against Auckland FC. They've been looking a bit like how could I say, like they've made some mistakes, but as long as you could just be like a team working through preseason together and stuff like that. So, you know, I think they've been doing pretty well.
Yeah, new coach, new ideas. It's always gonna take a little bit of time. Back on the Victorian beat, Oakley beat Heidelberg, Jake, in the cup. By the way, just quick question on this. So it seems like Heidelberg are the much bigger club than Oakley, because I don't know if I'm going to get like abused here by some people in Victoria, but just like watching the highlights, because I wasn't able to watch this one, but watching the highlights back, it was pretty evident that there were more Heidelberg people in the crowd than Oakley. Am I wrong on right on that?
Yeah, you might get bashed. I'm sorry, Christian. No, we'll look. So Heidelberg, well, where it's being played, the home of the Tilders in Bundoora, that's sort of up north, north Melbourne, which was where very, very close to Heidelberg. So that's largely why. Oakley's sort of more out east.
Okay.
I'd say pretty similar size clubs, to be fair. But yeah, it was a great game. It was a thrilling game. Went all the way to penalties. And yeah, the youngster Noah Holmes, you know, was able to slot the final one in too, which is good to see for him. I know they've got a lot of
former South Australian Noah Holmes.
Is he? I don't even know.
He was here in SA for a bit.
Oh, right. I didn't even know. Yeah. I knew he played for West United's Academy. He came through there. So that was good to see him sort of take that sort of next leap now, maybe, and get some more minutes. They've got Munir Badous, Max Bissetta, a couple of youngsters sort of in their ranks that maybe can come through, push through. So interesting sort of little project there. And again, Oakley going to be another team that have, you know, sort of competing on both fronts now, obviously got the grand final to focus on, and also this. So going to be very interesting to see what happens there. But yeah, that's, I don't know. I don't really know what to say. Like, I think that Sabat and Gore, especially for Heidelberg, obviously maybe not as dominant of a performance we saw as the previous round, but man, he is unreal. I just like anyone just watch his highlight reel. Like, he's so, so good. So I really, really hope he gets picked up by an A-League club. That's all what I really want to say about Heidelberg, because yeah, they're a really, really good team to watch, especially with him. Even Anthony Lesiotis, a very familiar name to a lot of A-League fans, I'm sure. So they've got a good side as well, so they'll definitely feel a bit hard done by to lose that one, but that's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes.
Yeah, well, I'm mentioning Ian Pilsinski for a second time on this podcast, because he did an interview with Sabit Njor when he played in Finland for a bit. And you can actually go and check that out on the website as well, under the Aussies Abroad section. But no, it's actually called Global News. I don't know why it's called Global News. I've got to change that to Aussies Abroad. But yeah, he's actually had European experience, which I'm not sure if a lot of people know that. And he's come back here, and yeah, he's been absolutely fantastic. He's got an unbelievable highlight reel. He's kind of in that Dom Costanzo group of like NPL guy who has like ridiculous goal compilation. So just on Oakley, Chris Taylor, the coach of Oakley, I'm not too sure. Just going off the fact that Oakley are just always like in NPL grand finals, and they're always in like the latter stages of the Australia Cup, it's like, man, this guy, it's just what a job he's done with that club over the years. It's been absolutely fantastic. I don't know if there's ever been interest from A-League clubs, or if he's maybe not interested in that kind of professional leap. I'm not sure what the deal is there, but yeah, he's done a fantastic job. They're always in and around the Australia Cup final rounds. So credit to them. And you know, interestingly for Oakley and South Melbourne, we mentioned the grand final obviously this weekend, but they've also got, you know, a grand final there and managing that with being in the quarterfinals of the Australia Cup. So interesting how both teams in the NPL grand final actually do have that extra commitment of the Australia Cup as well. MacArthur, Adelaide United, both went through in high scoring games. Adelaide United showing that there's much improvement needed defensively from them yet. And MacArthur came back against Newcastle. I'm going to talk about one of their players in a minute who I've got my eye on going into this season, but really some stunning goals that they scored in that game against the Jets, turning that around. And Hume City progressing as well. Amar Abdullah for Hume City, who scored what was a bit of a fluky Olympico
if it ever goes in, I think you could give credit. Like, come on, that is unreal.
Come on, that's insane amount of wind that helped that ball. But look, credit to him. But he's actually a similar one to Sabit Noor, because he actually played overseas for a bit. Played in Estonia, if I'm not mistaken, Abdullah. So again, these little things which people probably don't realize, but yeah, he's been fantastic. Still 25, so you know, still a chance potentially to get, you know, an A-League move. Melbourne Serbia as well, just a quick shout out, like to push an NPL team all the way like that, only lose 1-0, you know, they were only, you know, a goal away or a couple of goals away from making a quarterfinal of the Australia Cup, which would have been absolutely insane. So very, very interesting. Okay, to finish this section, first of all, dark horses out of the NPL teams, who have you guys got your eye on as, yeah, this team could make a semi-final or final? And then also out of the A-League teams, which one of those teams do you actually think is, yeah, this isn't just like a nice preseason run. This is actually like these guys are going to be really good come the season. And there's more to this than just, yeah, you know, some good form in preseason. Jake, let's start with you.
Yeah, well, I think first, South Melbourne, that was sort of the team I noted there. I think they're, again, in good form, and especially with the upcoming game against Hume, that's a little bit of a, like the semi-final almost serve as a preview for this game as well. Obviously, in that one, again, like I sort of was talking about, Hume, maybe a little bit unlucky to not get the win. And this one is a home game for them too, which, you know, maybe that will sort of, you know, be a little bit of a, you know, the little edge they need this time, who knows? But I think whoever wins that one, I think honestly can push all the way. Like, they can be a very, very tough team to beat, whoever wins that one there. And it looks in, at least looking at the two other NPL teams, Moreton versus Victory, that's tough because, again, Moreton, you know, they prove they can beat A-League opposition, but Victory just looks so, yeah, indestructible almost at this point. So we'll have to see. And then Oakley versus MacArthur, I don't know. Maybe there could be another surprise.
We'll do predictions for those games at the end. But yeah.
Yeah, we'll leave them. But yeah. But I honestly think all those A-League teams can win. I really do. Maybe not Moreton, but yeah.
All the NPL teams, you mean?
Yeah. I think at least all the, you know, maybe biased as a Victorian, but well, they all are there, to be fair, all the Victorian teams. But I can honestly see any of them go all the way. Who knows?
Fucking hell. Half of the teams left the Australia Cup are Victorian.
Vic great. Hashtag Vic great. Let's get it going.
Gross. How gross is that? Disgusting. Okay. And out of the A-League team, Shay, well, you kind of mentioned Victory before. Is that the one that's kind of... Yeah.
They just look the most ready. Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
I think Victory are going to be really good this year as well. I agree. Jose, what about you? Who's dark horse? And then who's impressing you out of the A-League teams? Who do you think is going to carry their form into the season?
I don't know. I mean, all the New South Wales teams, it's just wondrous left. So it's the only really thing I can say for...
Oh, wow. Well, MacArthur's in New South Wales, mate.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Yeah, I got to go crazy. Any team, bro. Oh, I don't know, mate. MacArthur, Western Sydney Wanderers. Dark horses? I don't know. I mean, there have been a lot of good games where the team has shown their strengths. I mean... I think comparing NPL to NPL and A-League to A-League, I think it's really, really tight in terms of quality, especially like for A-League, it's so early now. But I don't know, it's really close. I feel like any of them could make it to the finals. It's
Stop fence sitting, man. Make a prediction. Come on.
Come on. Okay. I'm looking at the teams now, but like,
All right, yeah. Pick one MPL team as your dark horse. Look at the fixtures. Just yeah.
it's either Oakley Cannons or South Melbourne.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I'd say.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna go with dark horse. Yeah, I'll go Oakley as a dark horse. And out of those A-League teams, yeah, I agree with Jack. I think Victory are looking really good at the moment too. Okay. Cool. All right, let's move on. Then we'll circle back to the quarterfinals. We'll finish with some predictions at the end of the podcast. But the Socceroos, of course, are back this week. I'll actually be heading up to the Gold Coast, and I'll be there on Thursday night for the game. Looking forward to it. They're taking on Bahrain. First game of the third round of qualifying, of course, the final stage of qualifying for the World Cup. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. We haven't seen the Socceroos play, feels like, in a while, Jake. Am I mistaken with that?
Yeah, it does feel that way. Yeah,
It feels like it's
couple months
been,
now.
yeah, a few months. But yeah, I'm going to throw to you first. So squad came out. It's actually a lot of people kind of wondering where the hell the squad was for a little bit. But it did come out. I think the squad actually came out after Bahrain arrived in Australia. So that's kind of not really the greatest sign, but it's out. Aziz Baic got a recall. Adam Taggart is back in the squad. And Craig Goodwin's obviously back in the squad. He was injured, if I'm not mistaken, last time. What's your thoughts on Graham Arnold's selections for these two games?
Yeah, well, first, so happy to see Craig Goodwin's magical left foot back. I've missed it so much. Oh my God, he's unreal. Like, yeah, I don't know if you've guys seen how well he's been doing in Saudi, but yeah, he is unreal. So it's going to be good to see him back in there whipping in some balls. But
Hashtag SA great.
hashtag SA great. You know what? I'll give it credit where it's due. You know what? They've produced an absolute baller there. And they've produced some others like Nesta. It's good to see him still in there, still in that squad too, which is awesome. And well, I'm sort of looking here, very, very deep in midfield, maybe a little bit too much depth, to be honest. It's going to be hard almost for, you know, Graham Arnold to sort of pick who's going to pick. You know, you've got Devlin there back as O'Neill. I think Aidan O'Neill's the one where I'm like, I really, really want to play him. But then you've got Nisbet, Metcalf, Irvine there as well. They're probably the more established ones that you think will probably keep those spots. But yeah, Aidan O'Neill's been captaining, you know, Standard Liège in Belgium and doing very well. So it's gonna be interesting to see who he picks there. Right backs maybe looking a little concerning. We'll
That
probably kind of
was the
go for
point.
that.
Yeah, that was the one I was going to bring up with
Yeah.
you, because right back, it's like it's Thomas Deng and it's Lewis Miller, and that's kind of it in the
Yeah.
squad in
Yeah,
terms of guys who can play right
I'd
back.
definitely
Yeah.
give it to Lewis Miller. I think it's also really important for him to sort of prove himself again after what happened. You know, I think it's, you know, like it was poor from him, but at the end of the day, you've just got to move forward. And I think he's got a lot of promise. I think he's got a lot to offer. So be good to see him given that chance there. Obviously, Thomas Deng can cover there, but you know he's primarily been playing centre back this season, so I think surely he'll play him there. And then yeah, even yeah, Aziz Baic, the experienced player, but again, you know it's a shame with Jordan Boss's injury, obviously, and even Jacob Farrell. It's just very unlucky because this would have been the perfect time for him to get that chance there, yeah, left back. But he also happens to be injured, so you know Aziz Baic at least come in there and do a job. But I don't know. I think it's a very competitive squad. That's what I have to say. It's a very like. You can really see all of these positions go either way, and yeah, it's good squad building. I would, you know, obviously the obvious one here that's missing is Robertson. Everyone wants Alex Robertson, obviously in this squad. I get obviously we've heard Arnold say, you know, he wants him in that Cardiff squad, sort of building, you know, minutes and sort of his reputation in that squad to where he can maintain minutes. That's a fair, you know, that's a fair point. But at the same time, he is always going to have that. Sort of, is he going to pick Australia? Is he going to pick? I think Peru was the other one. Even Scotland, I think. I'm not sure. I think he has a lot of nationalities I think he can pick from. So that's always going to be the concern whether they can lock him in or not. But I think that's probably the only real gripe I have with the squad, him in there or not. But I feel like it's a pretty good squad, though. I don't know.
Jose, what do you reckon about the squad?
I have to agree with Jake. I think he's, yeah, it's very competitive. Obviously, there's a lot of players I have to miss out, but I have to. I'm just gonna agree with everything you said. I don't have anything else to add on.
Jose.
Jose's like, it's 10:45 at night. I don't have many thoughts. I'm just going to play this easy and agree with Jake.
Yeah.
Easy. Done.
No, fair enough. Not everyone has
No,
the
he was very
ability.
insightful. I mean,
Not everyone can yap about Craig Goodwin
Jake,
at
Jake's not that insightful. Come on, let's be honest. Fuck, come on.
as of now, yes.
Jeez. Wow.
I'll take that.
I've never seen.
Oh,
Stop glazing him. Far out.
my bad. Oh,
That's a young term. That's the one that
look.
that's the one that my under 15s use quite often.
Oh, glazing.
Yeah, glazing. Yeah.
Oh, you're their coach.
Christian
Why are they
trying to
cutting?
connect with Gen Z?
I'm not trying to connect. It's just how they talk, and I hear
Hey, you sound like a
it.
boomer, man.
Who said I'm trying to connect? That's come on, mate.
Cool. Funny thing is, you are Gen Z, but anyways.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, thanks, mate.
Yeah,
Now
fun.
in terms of the opponents, we got Bahrain and Indonesia. Now Bahrain, I know probably I cannot name you a single Bahrain player. If you ask me right now on the spot, I'm going to be totally honest. Indonesia, I've got a little bit more of an understanding of. Jordi Amat, yep, that's probably one player I can name.
Good centre back. Yeah.
Yeah, good centre back. Used to play for Swansea back in the day. We also played Indonesia, of course, at the Asian Cup. So a little bit familiar with that. Jose, you have Indonesian background, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. I slowed down because I wasn't sure if I got the flag mixed up and you actually had Polish background, but
Is
you.
either Poland or I think someone mistaken it for Poland when I
No,
first
someone
came here.
mistook. Yeah, someone mistake made a mistake that it was Poland, but it's actually Indonesian background.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah, wow, this actually works. So what's your like knowledge of Indonesia's national team? Any insights here?
I think Indonesia is pretty underrated in terms of compared to Asia, I think they're pretty underrated. Like they got a really, really young squad, especially in the Asian Cup. They have the youngest squad. Obviously, they got, I think one of the players moved to England. I think Ferdinand, I think his name was. What is his name? But I think it's somewhere around there. But I think they're a team to look at, and especially with like the they've been bringing team, like players from the Dutch leagues as well. Obviously giving them citizenship, and then so lots of quality players coming in for Indonesia. So I think out of these two fixtures, I think they'll definitely be the hardest one for the Socceroos. So yeah.
They had Justin Hubner. Is it Hubner? Is that how you say it? Moved to.
Yeah.
He's on Wolves books in England now.
Oh yeah, he is.
Yeah, you've got. Oh yeah, they've got Sandy Walsh, of course. I remember from the Asian Cup. He plays in Belgium. Yeah, there's
Ferdinand's,
a.
yeah, he went to Oxford recently. So that's a
Oh,
fixture.
that's the one that
That's a
Jose was talking about.
fixture.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Marcelino Ferdinand. He's only 19, actually. A midfielder who plays for Oxford now. But they've got, yeah, like Jose said as well, a few players who play in the Eredivisie as well, in Holland. So yeah, no, they're definitely not. I think they've got more quality than Bahrain.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it seems like. I think we should definitely expect a tougher test against them than Bahrain, given that it's also away in Jakarta, which is going to be interesting. Yeah, have you been to Indonesia, Jose?
I've been there like 5, 6 times visiting family, so
Five, six times. Do you think that the Socceroos boys are disappointed that this got moved from Bali to Jakarta?
I don't know. I think Jakarta has some good. I think Jakarta's all right. Yeah, as long as it's not like if it's other places other than Jakarta, I think they'd be disappointed. But I think Jakarta's the best out of like every city.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm looking at the squad for Indonesia right now. I think they've brought in some new players. Like they got Martin Paes as well. I think he's a new player. Has 0 caps for them.
He plays for FC Dallas in the MLS. He's goalkeeper, so
Yeah, they
interesting.
brought in a they brought in new players, more players.
Yeah.
But
It's
yeah.
going to be interesting. I mean, the Socceroos beat them. Last point on this: Socceroos beat them 4-0, of course, at the Asian Cup. But it wasn't really like a 4-0. It was
Yeah,
a bizarre game.
dodgy.
Yeah. Like it was kind of a lot closer than the result
Oh, it was like
suggested.
2-0 to like the 90th minute.
It was 2-0 till late on, and then a couple of late goals. Probably Indonesia just dropped their heads. That happens. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a really tight game, to be honest. Okay, so we'll have a deep dive into those two games, the results, the performances, our analysis of the Socceroos games against Bahrain and Indonesia in the next podcast, which will be in a couple of weeks' time. So you can stay tuned for that. We're going to conclude the podcast by talking a bit about these Australia Cup quarterfinals, looking ahead to them. And I'm going to get some predictions from the boys now. So, Jake, let's start with you. Morton City, Excelsior, Melbourne Victory. Prediction?
I'm going to go ahead and say 1-3 victory. I think it'll be pretty comfortable victory win, to be honest. But I think
What?
Morton
Sorry,
will get
sorry,
a goal
sorry,
though. They've got
sorry,
a good attack.
sorry, sorry. 1-3. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say 1-3. You mean 3-1 victory?
No, because it's a Morton home game.
It doesn't matter. Just say 3-1 victory. Come on, mate. Far out.
I'll claim the
3-1
compliment there.
victory.
There we go.
Shut up. Hey, mate, you later. So 3-1 victory. Jose?
Well, I think maybe I'll go 3-0. 3-0 for the victory.
3-0 victory. Yeah. I'll go 3-1. Yeah, I'll go 3-1 as well. Or sorry, I mean 1-3 to victory in that one as well. Okay. Oakley MacArthur, I'll start this one. Fuck it. I'm gonna go for the upset in this game. Let's go Oakley 2-1 to beat MacArthur. And I'll go 2-1 after extra time as
The exact
well.
same 2-1.
After extra time?
No. I have it regular time 2-1. I think it'll be a late goal though. I can definitely smell a late goal in there. But yeah, no. But honestly, I'm pretty confident on Oakley to win this.
Right, okay. Jose,
I
prediction?
forgot about MacArthur. I'm not sorry for forgetting about MacArthur, so I'm gonna go 2-0 for Oakley.
Jesus.
Damn.
Just what's this? Just this subtle MacArthur hate that's coming out. Forget about
You know,
MacArthur, predict against them. Wow. Brutal.
have you seen their bells? Their bells.
Oh no. We're familiar. We're familiar with the bells. If you're not familiar with the bells by now, then geez, don't know what rock you've been living under. But wow, so you've forgotten about MacArthur, and then you've tipped against them. So you're kind of showing how you really feel. You're telling us how you really feel about MacArthur, clearly.
No bias against him.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Hopefully not.
I'm
Otherwise,
not
you're gonna.
sorry. I'm never sorry about forgetting.
Okay. Otherwise, someone's gonna rock up to your house. You're gonna answer the door, and
I'll
someone's
be
just gonna
ready.
start
I'll
ringing a
be
cowbell in your face.
ready. I'll be ready.
Yeah. Okay.
If someone ever does come to my house with a cowbell, I'm smashing it. I don't care.
Okay.
Damn.
It's a very specific thing to be ready for. Anyway, so that's the prediction then. At least it looks like. Wait, Jake, did I get your prediction for Oakley MacArthur?
Yeah, 2-1, 2-1.
2-1-2.
Oakley.
Oh, okay, so we're all on the Oakley upset
Oakley upset.
bandwagon here,
The
which means that
bandwagon.
MacArthur are going to win. Okay, so that's right.
Going with the man hat trick. I'm a betting man.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Just on that, I was going to mention Marin Yakalis. I didn't mention this before. I think he's going to have a really good season in the A League. That was one of my things that I picked up on from the round of 16. I just got a feeling that he's going to be really good. He probably is going to score against Oakley. That's maybe one prediction I'll make. He's going to score, but they're going to lose 2-1. Yeah, there you go. Adelaide United
I think
Wanderers.
Jermaine. Did,
What's that, Jose?
I think Jermaine also deserves a shout as well. I think he's got a brace against
Yeah.
Newcastle.
He does, but we know that he's good. He doesn't. It's not
Yeah, that's
necessary.
true.
Unfortunately, he doesn't need to be praised anymore.
Yeah.
We'll wait. We'll wait until the A-League season. But Adelaide United and the Wanderers is the only all A-League tie. Jake, thoughts, predictions?
Ooh. I'm not convinced by Adelaide. I'm just not. I think all their games so far have just been too dodgy. Carl Viet, I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and say, honestly, 3-1. 3-1. I did your way, Donnie, even though it should be 1-3. But yeah, I'm going to give it to the Wanderers. I think they're looking good. Sapsford will bag a brace. That's going to be my prediction. I am very, very big on Sapsford. Yeah, I'm liking the Wanderers at the moment.
Jose?
I forgot about Sapsford, to be honest. Anyway, I think Wanderers will win.
Stop forgetting things, man. What's going on? Your memory's all good?
I mean, it's really late, man.
Yeah, to be fair, it's like 11
I'm
o'clock.
trying, but my brain's trying to function
Yeah.
anyway. But I'm obviously gonna go for the Wonders, you know. I think 3-0 regular time.
Whoa.
Wow.
All right. Jeez.
They
Wow.
win.
Wow. 3-0. Okay. I'm gonna go Wanderers 2-1 after extra time. I reckon it'll go to extra time this one. So yeah. Okay. Last one, Hume City, South Melbourne. I'll start this off, I reckon. Yeah, I reckon South Melbourne win 1-0. Classic Quintas disgusting ball. And South Melbourne will qualify for the semi-final, Jake.
I'm going to say South Melbourne on penalties. It'll finish 1-1. It's just going to go all the way. It's just going to be a bore fest. I'm going to be honest. Hume will play some good footy, but they'll just, you know, it just won't matter. And yeah, I do think in a way, Hume being the home team for this game, honestly, could help South Melbourne because Hume are going to have that pressure on them this a counter. Oh no, sorry, not counter. Control the ball. South can counter, and that's where they're best. So we'll have to see. But yeah, I'm going to say South.
Jose, with your
I'll
limited
say.
knowledge of these two teams, what do you think?
I'll go for South Melbourne. I think 1-0. I think it'll be really close.
Should be a good crowd. Should be a good crowd. So you've got Turks and Greeks there. So yeah, should be good. Should be good fun. All right, that's gonna do it for this episode of the podcast. Thanks, guys, for the predictions. Let's see. Maybe we can listen back to it after the quarterfinals and see how wrong we were. Because we probably are going to be very, very wrong. I'm already regretting the Oakley pick. I'm pretty sure MacArthur are going to win like 3 or 4 nil. Okay. Anyway, but we got a lot happening. Australia Cup. We got Socceroos. We've got NPL Grand Finals this weekend. It's all happening. And apparently we've got A League clubs going in on marquees again as well. So it's going to be a very, very interesting couple of weeks. You can catch us in a couple of weeks' time when we are back on this pod again. Jake, any parting words of wisdom before we wrap it up?
Honestly, I usually do, but no. I just think watch your football. Watch your football. Oz football is heating up at the moment. This is the time to watch. And then we'll fly straight into A-League season. Maybe we can get a good start to the A-League season off a really, really good little preseason with the NPL and Oz Cup. So I'm excited.
Jose, any parting words?
Not really. Actually, watch the NPL.
Are you gonna fence it even on the parting words? That doesn't even make any sense.
I fence on everything. This is my kind of like my thought process.
It's just Jose fence it a camper.
Oh, don't nickname me that. I want something cool. I want something cool. I don't want to be stuck with like a nickname like Furniture Merchant or something like that.
Oh, like Cody Ajayi, furniture merchant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Cody, strays, copping strays as well now. Anyway, Jose, you were saying.
Okay, well, watch your footy.
So basically exactly what Jake said. Yep. Okay,
Oh,
cool.
and the NPL New South Wales Grand Final this Saturday.
Parting words from me. No real parting words, to be honest. Another interesting podcast, as always. This time grateful that I didn't have to deal with Cody and Matt's extended tangents that drone on and on without any ending. So if you guys hear this back, it was great to actually have two people who have much more succinct to the point opinions. So excellent. Okay, that'll do it then for another episode of the FBF podcast. Like I said, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Until next time, it's bye for now.